Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
That's spiritual hunger. Everybody say spiritual hunger. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your mouth wide, it said, and I will fill it. Praise God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Hunger is not a pleasant feeling, but it causes you to get what you need to survive. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be able to satisfy hunger? Amen. David was hungry and thirsty for the living God, and nothing else would satisfy his hungering soul. When he was away from the temple, where he felt that proximity to God, and the only way he could get close to this one that he loved was to get in the temple and worship outside that mighty veil that no one could go in behind. But just being that close to the identifiable presence of God upon the earth. Amen. David, when he was separated, running for his life, you know, his chief concern running for his life wasn't his life. It wasn't even his family tumult that his own son was trying to kill him and take the kingdom from him. You think you've got family problems. Can you say amen? Absalom wanted the kingdom and he wanted to kill his daddy to get it. And David had to leave, amen, the holy city, leave temple worship, go out and hide like a rabbit in the desert and waiting on God to show him what to do and how to handle the situation. And out in the desert, amen, where people become thirsty without water, he identified with that kind of physical thirst with his spiritual thirst for God. And it's out in the desert under those circumstances the psalm was written that talks about that thirst in David's life where he said, as the heart pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. I thirst for the living God. Amen. And then he talked about the temple and how he longed to go back and worship in that place where the presence of God was identified behind the veil. Amen. It wasn't like it is now. Now, in the name of Jesus, if you choose to come out of the world long enough and you choose to get out of the busyness of life long enough, if you choose to come into the stillness of seeking Him, amen? My Bible says you'll find Him if you seek after Him with all of your heart. And you won't find Him behind the veil anymore. Amen? You can come directly into the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Something David could not do. Amen. You are able to do. Something Abraham could not do. Something you said, but Moses did, the burning bush. No, he couldn't even approach that bush. He had to take off his shoes and stand in awe of that bush. Amen. That fire could not be touched by human hands. Amen. And when Moses saw a glimpse of him, God had to put him in the cleft of a rock and move swiftly by him to show him his goodness. Can you say amen? Then the glory that attends that intrinsic good in his character. Praise God. Amen. But we have beheld the only begotten of the Father and literally looked in the face of God when we saw Jesus as the direct express image of God. We saw God for who He is in the person of His Son. Beheld His glory, hallelujah, that angels had to cover themselves, amen, in the presence of, we can look upon, hallelujah, with the unveiled faces, hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Moses just came, got a glimpse of Him on top of the mountain. When he came down from the mountain, he had to wear a veil over his face because the glory of God was so reflected in the face of Moses like phosphorus glowing. They couldn't look upon the face of Moses. It was too bright. Incredible stuff. Amen. And after a while, the glory began to fade. And as it did, the glory of that initial contact with God on that mountain began to fade. He was able to lift the veil again. But for a while, he wore a veil because of the glory from his own face. Because he came into the presence of the Lord on top of that mountain. Amen. That's what those cloven tongues of fire was. Those little it wasn't little candle glows. Amen. There was something a lot more going on here than a flickering flame. Have you ever seen the artist's conception? Cloven tongues of fire, and they show a little, look like a little candle. Amen. Little candle flame. Amen. on the back of everybody's head. No, it was different than that. Amen. It was the Shekinah glory that attends the presence of God, because God came into a human temple, and wherever God's presence is, the glory is manifest. Amen. And now the glory of God is manifest in us and through us. Can you say amen? Sometimes when you're witnessing, someone is open to the Lord and they feel that flow of the Spirit because His presence is in you. It's not just you with an intellectual argument going on. I've got a lot of people now beginning to approach me with intellectual arguments. And you know, I can't even approach it intellect to intellect. Amen. I can just stand strong in my faith, in my personal conviction, my personal experience. What I do know about the Bible, I know it is accurate. I know it is true. I know it is a truth that will outlast all of the critics. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was more than just a man, a good man or a great man. Jesus was God incarnate, God come in flesh. Can you say amen? That's what separated him from just a good man or a great prophet or a great healer. He wasn't like Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah had a natural mama. Jesus was virgin born. If he isn't virgin born, he isn't the Christ. Because Isaiah said, the sign unto you and to all the world that Messiah has come is that he's going to come through an immaculate conception, through a virgin birth. Can you say amen? Like no man has ever been born, Christ is going to be born. Wow. So I want to, it brings us to our subject today. We're talking about the God of peace being with us. We're not going to really leave that theme to bring us into the Christmas focus, because we're going to talk about God being with us, and that's the reason for our peace. And this morning I want to talk about Emmanuel, which means God with us. Throughout all of the history of the church, it seems that there's been a movement to reduce Jesus from being very God to just a man. And it seems easy to do that because they'll call him a great man, a good man, a wonderful man. I was talking to a man who believed that Jesus was a great prophet, but he was also into Islam, and he believed Muhammad was a prophet as well, equal to Jesus. But Jesus was a great prophet and a respected prophet. And as a matter of fact, I think to console me, he said, since you worship Jesus, he said, I believe Jesus was the greatest, in fact, prophet of all. I said, you mean you believe that Jesus was the greatest prophet of all? He said, yes, I do. And I guess he thought that I'd say, that's great. You know, Jesus and Muhammad can coexist as equals, or Jesus just a tad above him, and we can all get along. Amen. I said, well, if you believe that Jesus is the greatest prophet of all, then you got to believe what he taught was true and authoritative. He can't be the greatest if he's a liar and a fraud. This is one of those tis or taint scriptures that my great-grandmother used to talk about. Amen. She'd read something in the Bible. She said it either tis or taint. Amen. It's either true or it's not true, but there's no gray area here. There's no margin of error. There's no in-between place. Jesus is Lord, or he's a liar. Can you say amen? But he is not, amen, what man makes him out to be. He's what God says that he is. Amen. How many know God has clearly defined who Jesus is in Scripture? And the prophets clearly defined who Jesus is. And the apostles clearly define who Jesus is. Amen. And they all agree on one thing. Jesus is not just Lord. Jesus is God. Can you say amen? If Jesus isn't God, it isn't the Christ of Scripture. Amen. So I said, if you really believe it, then listen to what he teaches. Jesus said, who you said is the greatest prophet, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. You say, Brother Venable, but that's narrow-mindedness. You better believe it's narrow-minded. There's one God and one mediator. Amen. You got to stay narrow on this thing. Amen. I had another intellectual situation at work where a guy came up and said, what do you really believe about Jesus? I said, well, I believe what God says about him. I believe what the Scriptures teach about him. I believe what history records about him. I believe that he was God come in the flesh. Amen. And he said, do you believe that other people are not going to heaven? Amen. And now he's looking at me like, don't tell me you believe that. I mean, you know, he's a way, but he's not the way. Can you say amen? I said, I believe what Jesus taught. And I told him what Jesus said. You see, I want the argument to go from people who are considered Christian conservatives or the Christian right as a political movement. I want them to forget who the Democrat-Republican thing here. This is a matter of truth. Amen. I don't want to really, when I'm talking about Jesus, I do not identify with the Christian right, because I'm not talking politics now or conservatism or who's the president of the United States or who isn't or what this group believes or that group believes, because when I'm talking about Jesus, I want to define him from Scripture. Amen. Not from any other movement than the moving of God's Spirit upon men to write the Holy Scripture and separate speculation from absolute truth. Jesus is either who he said he was, or he is the greatest liar in the universe. Can you say amen? But you can't just have him to just be one of the bunch. He stands out. I read a pastor's site last night. He said, when I was in Bible college, my professor was teaching about Christ and Christianity in relation to all the other world religions. He said, here's the difference. He said, every world religion is like steps of a ladder trying to get man into the presence of God or into the acceptance of God. It is always man trying to climb up to God. It is man seeking God. Amen. That's how it initiates, is man trying to come up the ladder. Can you say amen? He said, here's where Christianity differs. Amen. And separates from all of them. It is not man climbing up a ladder to get into the presence of God or get acceptance with God. It is God coming down the ladder seeking fallen man. Can you say amen? That's the message of Christmas. It's God coming down to us. Everybody say, God coming down to us. Someone said, every world religion has this one tenet, this one truth in the core of it. It's man, amen, seeking God through that world religion. Amen. But Christianity doesn't start with man seeking God. It starts with God seeking man. God coming down. It's a promised blessing for people in trouble. God with us, Emmanuel, amen. They're gonna make a movie about the book that someone asked about here, the Da Vinci Code, where there's speculation and innuendo, and you have to ask, where does this person, do they get it from history? No. Do they get it from biblical writ? No. Holy canon? No. Amen. There was all kind of rumors and speculations about Jesus. He's the most controversial figure that there is on the planet. There's nobody like Jesus. Look at somebody and say, there ain't nobody like Jesus. He stirred up more trouble than anybody that ever came to this planet. Amen? Jesus stirred up trouble. You know what he said about his trip to the earth? Talking about this. Now, I know the Bible said peace on earth, and it can come in the kingdom of God through receiving Christ as your Savior. But world peace isn't going to come until Christ literally comes here and reigns upon the earth. No man is going to bring world peace. Not even the man who comes in peace initially, called the Antichrist. He will not bring it for long. Amen. In fact, all hell is going to break loose. Amen. When this man tries to bring peace to this world, a phony peace through a phony, amen, Savior. Amen. But the real Christ said, I'm going to bring peace. But when I hit this planet, amen, it's going to set at variance. It's going to put forces of light and darkness in direct, distinct conflict. When I come to the earth, there's going to be trouble down there. So he said, I want you to be prepared for the trouble. So he said, think not that I have come to send peace upon the earth. Isn't it amazing? The angel said, peace on earth. And if everyone came to Christ, there could be peace on earth. And the day that they do, there will be peace on earth. But until they do, there will be no peace on earth. And his presence is really going to stir things up on the planet. So he said, think not that I've come to send peace on earth, but I've come to send a sword and to set at variance. Hello? It's all because of him. All because of his claims, his teachings, who he was, that we are set at variance with other world religions. Can you say amen? So the guy that was trying to recently get me to believe in Islam at work, amen, and keep by Jesus, but go ahead and accept this world religion. He's not about to accept Jesus, but you know how that works. Can you say amen? He said, do you really believe what he said? Amen. I said, yes, I do. Here's what Jesus said about it. I can tell you what Jesus said. Did you believe, you mean these people are not going to heaven? I said, I can tell you what Jesus said. Amen. I can tell you what Jesus said in the scripture. I can tell you what Christ taught. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And listen to the latter here. Any man that climbs up, that's man's way of coming to God. Man's manufactured religion from his own philosophy and from his own, amen. Any man that tries to climb up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. Why? Because God came down to seek man. Amen. God came to us. Amen. We did not choose him initially. He chose us. Christ taught, no one comes to the Father except by me. And no one comes to me except my Father draw him. God initiates salvation. It is not man initiated. It's God's salvation plan. And it began when Christ came down and became one with us. Fully God and fully man. See, they don't mind him becoming fully man. It's the fully God that they have a problem with. That's why they put him on the tree. Because they said, our God is one. And they knew when he said, I am, before Moses was, I am. He said it in the first person, just like God said it to Moses of old. Who shall I say is sending me to say, let my people go? And God said, tell him, the I am is sending you. And Jesus said, amen, I, before Moses was, I am. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. If he isn't God, he's not the Christ of Scripture. He's just another one of the good prophets. He's on the same level as anyone else. Said Muhammad had a mama. And Buddha had a mama. Jesus was born of a virgin. Mother Mary was the host for this child. But there was no conception in human terms. This was an immaculate conception. Not to glorify Mary, but to glorify him. Can you say amen? He is the focus in Scripture. And Mary is highly honored. And we keep her in that place of honor, but she is not worshipped in Scripture. Now, moving right along past that, she's not the object of worship in your Bible. Jesus is always the, neither are angels, and neither are great preachers. Neither are the apostles or the prophets. Worship is reserved for one name. Can you say, man, God has given him a name that's above every name that's named in heaven and earth and things beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Controversial? Tell me about it. That's what one anonymous author wrote about the unique life of Jesus. Here is a man, he said, who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family, according to Scripture. He never went to college. See, he didn't come, amen, to be normal. He came to be a Savior. He came to this earth with one mission, and that is to redeem man from his sins. Amen. He always said, I must be about my Father's business. I must finish his work. Amen. He told them it was God's will that he go to the cross, and they said, be it far from thee. Amen. He didn't come to live a normal life. They didn't take his life from him. He laid it down. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. It was love, not nails, that held him to that tree. Can you say amen? He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his feet inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. It's happening again. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had on this planet while he was dying, and that was his coat. And when he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. But he rose on the third day. That's kind of bigger than writing a book. It's kind of bigger than being someone great in the eyes of men, rising on the third day. 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I'm far within the mark, he says, when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as that one solitary life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And there was no one to push him. There was no press to promote him. There was no television to make him a star. It was just Jesus. And it all happened in 3.5 years of ministry. From the littlest town in all of Israel, Bethlehem, the prophet said, almost 800 years before Euphrates, Bethlehem, city of bread. The only thing they did was bake bread to sell in the larger cities. Bethlehem, Euphrates, out of him, out of you shall he come, who shall be ruler among the nations, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen? Incredible man. Jesus was more than a man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is far more than a great figure from past human history. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God understands and cares. He shared our trials and sufferings. He suffered and died to overcome the ravages of our human sinfulness. He graciously comes and offers to be with us always. So when the guy talked to me and I told him what Jesus said, he rolled his eyes. I don't know if you ever saw Little Rascals. There's a dog named Petey on there. I never seen a dog roll his eyes like Petey, but I saw a guy roll his eyes just like that. Not because of what I said, but because what I said, he said. Can you say, man? He rolled his eyes because that's politically incorrect, socially unacceptable. And he looked at me like, how can you believe that? And I looked him back in the eye and I said, because I'm as committed to my faith and my Christ is as a Muslim is to Muhammad. They believe he's the true prophet. I believe Jesus is. One of us has got to be wrong. But I honor anyone who is true to their faith. This is my faith, and I am true to my faith. It isn't a faith if you don't believe that it is true. Can you say amen? I believe Jesus is who he said he was. And I can talk about my personal experience all day long, but that's subjective. Everybody can talk about their experiences. Amen. But we've got history here. We've got a man from the littlest town. Listen, and he didn't grow up in a prestigious place either. He grew up in roughly the equivalent of Sulphur Springs or Dover or Sefner or Mango. I went to school in Mango, Florida. Amen. Just down the road from the mighty Sefner. I went to school with Bruce Hutchcraft, who was a weatherman for a while and a TV personality here in Tampa. And he was a year under me when I went to school. He lived in Sefner. Amen. But when they gave his address, he said, I live in a, on the air, he would say, oh, yes, I live in a suburb of Brandon. Because Sefner was too small for a celebrity. Can you say amen? But it was all right for the rest of us. Can you? Amen? Amen. You know, John Osteen's church, when it first started, was in Humble, Texas. That's where it was, Humble, Texas, a little town outside of Houston. 10,000-seat church in a place called Humble. It's hard to be humble with a 10,000-seat church. So they began to identify with Houston. They said, we're in the suburbs of Houston. Anyway, moving right along. That's how it works. Lord is keeping us humble, isn't he? We're not going to just be in the suburbs of Tampa here. We're going to be near the fairground. Hallelujah. So those eyes begin to roll. But I talked about being committed to a faith. I'm committed to my faith. Don't fault me for believing what I believe about Christ and sticking with it and not compromising it, because no one else is compromising their faith to accommodate Christianity. It's only Christians that don't have the right to practice our faith. And I told him, I said, I'm not saying that you have to believe the Scripture or you have to believe in Jesus if you choose not to. But I have, and I'm not budging. Amen. You can practice any religion you want, but I know truth. Amen. How can you say that, Brother Venable? Because, amen, Jesus came, amen, to this earth, and he lived here. He went to the cross. There's more credible history, amen, to prove the existence of Christ on the earth than there is Aristotle. Isn't that incredible? And we teach all of these great people of history, and yet there's more evidence that Christ. I'm talking about literature of the time, historians that were non-Christian who just talked about this movement and this man. How could this man, he grew up in Nazareth. Amen. What does Scripture say about Nazareth? The place he was born was obscure. The place he grew up in had a bad rep. No good thing ever came out of Nazareth. No good thing. And yet Christ grew up there. From 12 years old, he went home and was subject to his parents. That meant he helped his daddy rebuild someone's back porch or patch their roof. He was a carpenter's son. So it gave them a problem when he walked in and picked up the book at 30 years of age. Begin to read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to open the eyes of the blind, to preach, amen, deliverance to captives, amen, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, to preach the gospel to the poor. And he closed the book and said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. Amen. You're looking upon the fulfillment of prophetic truth personified in the man Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said, no man takes my life from me. Amen. Amen. No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have equal power to take it up again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? When they came to take him, he gave himself to them. And to prove that he was given his life and no one was taking it, they said, are you he? And Jesus said, I am he. I am. Was spoken again. And when he said it, it said they fell back. Isn't that incredible? He let them know, you cannot lay hands on me as some weak, wimpy, poor, pathetic prophet that they're going to take out and kill. I came here to go to that cross. You're the unwitting participators in a plan of salvation that will blow out the gates of hell. Can you say amen? And open the mighty doors of grace. Woo! You know what the scripture went on to say? If the princes of this world had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because they opened a fountain to the house of Jacob and to the Gentiles. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. A fountain was opened to the house of Jacob. If those demonic powers had known, they wouldn't have wanted his blood. You know what Satan would have told every demon in hell? Who wanted him dead? You know what he would have told him? Make a ring around him. Make a spiritual circle. Build a mighty wall. Don't let angel or man touch this man. Don't let one drop of blood be shed from his body. Don't let him die. Because if he does, he will bring a salvation that hell cannot counter and hell cannot cancel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! If they had known, they would have never killed him. And I'm not just talking about if they had known how great he was, wonderful he was, they would have changed their mind. No, if they had known this was part of God's salvation plan, the princes of this world, the principalities, not just the earthly kings and potentates, but those rulers of darkness in high places, they would have never wanted to see Jesus on a cross. Hallelujah. Emmanuel means that a God has come to earth. Emmanuel means God with us because of Christ's presence physically here. Very God and very man. That's an incredible dichotomy. That's an incredible mystery that Jesus was fully human and yet fully divine. Amen? And there's a lot of people talking about we can become like him in that sense. No, we can never do that. Remember, you're the branch. He's divine. Can you say, man? Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. The glory is greater that us, mortal people, can have this Holy One come and live in our hearts. That our hearts have been made pure enough through His sacrifice that He can come and the Father can come. Amen. Where angels fear to tread. Amen. They can come and dwell in our very heart through the Holy Spirit. This is a holy thing. That's why fire was on their heads. It was the glory that attends the presence of God now dancing around the heads of men and women. The glory reserved to God only. The glory that dwelt behind the veil is now out from the veil and it's upon people because He's indwelling them. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is not just a power gift. He is the fulfillment of the promise. When Christ ascended, He said, I'll send another comforter. He will be with you and He'll be in you and He'll abide with you forever. Because once He became Emmanuel, He came to stay with man, those who would receive Him. God is with us today. God is with you today. God is with me today. We're not left to fend for ourselves down here. God is with us. Matthew chapter 1, an angel comes to Joseph with words of instruction and insight. I'm going to begin the narrative in verse 19 of Matthew 1, the Christmas story. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example because she was pregnant without a husband, he was going to marry her so people wouldn't condemn her. But he knew he was not the father and there was no earthly father. He's going to find out because this is troubling him. He was minded to put her away privately, to get her out of the public view, and so there would be no shame. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus. The first name mention, amen, that God says he must be called by this name. It's not up to you to choose the name. The name has been chosen in heaven. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus is the New Testament, derivative of the Old Testament, Joshua, Yeshua. And the word Joshua means God saves. Everybody say God saves. So as Joshua became a deliverer for Israel, his name was indicative of what God raised him up to be, a deliverer, because God saved or God is salvation. That's what Jesus means, amen? Because he's coming here on a mission. It's specific to save the lost, to save sinners, to save people that are the victims of the fall. You'll hear over the Christmas season, in places where they still let it play, oh come, Emmanuel, come and ransom Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When I hear it now, I just get a tingle. It's different. It's not blended with the white Christmas or some of the other secular songs. It just doesn't blend well. It doesn't even blend well on Christian stations to come right out of a worshipful praise of Emmanuel and go right into chestnuts roasting or an open fire. Can you say amen? Somehow or another, that just doesn't blend. Can you say amen? It just don't blend. It don't work for me anymore. Amen. Jingle bells right after Old Little Town of Bethlehem don't blend with me. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, I have a heart to worship God, not to just celebrate a season, a winter solstice. It's not about a winter solstice. He probably wasn't even born in the winter because shepherds in the winter are not in the fields. It doesn't matter the specific date. What matters is God came to earth. He was incarnate, which means in flesh. Incredible truth. Oh, if you want to know if he was God, he stands at the bow of a ship when it looks like it's going to be capsized. He looks out at the sea and the wind and the waves. And he says, peace, Be still. And the scripture said, and immediately, there's a great calm. He didn't ask God to do anything. He didn't pray a prayer like Joshua of old. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the water. The Creator spoke to creation. And creation recognized and obeyed the Creator. The only part of His creation that doesn't recognize and obey Him is those that He gave a sovereign will. And that's people like you and me. You've got to choose. But nothing else has a choice. Jesus is coming on the donkey. Amen. A king on a donkey. What a sight. Triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The zealots thought He is going to overthrow Rome and lead us out of Roman tyranny. And He brought another kind of kingdom. Amen. Man has a real problem with a humble king and an invisible kingdom. Can you say amen? In this tangible world, we're so trapped in time. Amen. We can't see the glory of eternity for time. Amen. The immediate is what we're looking for, not the eternal. God wants you to focus you from the immediate to the eternal. Amen. Get you to living not just for time, but living for eternity. Can you say amen? So whatever's hitting you in time, no matter how hard or difficult, will be reclassified as a light affliction in light of eternity. The joy we're going to know through eternity is worth the trouble we have here in time. How many know the joy? Amen. 10,000 years, you're not going to be concerned about who persecuted you on the job last week. One thing's for sure. There's a young Muslim man that is committed to Muhammad. And there's a Christian guy at work that's committed to Christ. Amen. If he won't bother me, I'm sure not going to bother him. I can live with his false commitment if he can live with my faith. He's having a real problem living with my faith. Amen. Because I claim an exclusive in Jesus Christ. Because if any man climb up another way, it's either Jesus or pick one. Either the one that rose from the dead or those whose remains lie in state somewhere. Can you say amen? I told him, my God told me to love, my God told me that you're lost and I'm to love you and pray for me. And your God said, I'm an infidel and you should kill me. Yeah. And if I'm not offended that your God wants me dead, you shouldn't be offended that my God wants you saved. Hallelujah. Didn't change nobody's mind, but I felt good. Can you say amen when I was through? Hallelujah. I love Jesus. This is a truth that men and women died for. This is why there are martyrs. This is why people died in the Roman arena. This is why during the Spanish Inquisition that so many people would not recant their faith. It's because they knew a truth, amen, that would save their soul. A truth more important than a few more years of life here on the earth. A truth more important than not experiencing pain. A truth not only worth living for, but a truth worth dying for. God has come down to us, and He's come through a person whose name, and that name is Jesus, Yeshua, hallelujah, and He will save His people from their sins. The first name is Jesus, and it's a name that still strikes terror into the hearts of devils. Scripture said, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Can you say amen? Amen. So they were persecuting them, not for propagating religious ideologies or philosophies. Amen. Not even talking about God was persecuted. It was specific persecution. They told them, don't preach or teach in this name anymore. They didn't say don't preach or teach. Don't practice theology. Don't talk about religion. Don't have a dialogue and a discussion. Just don't preach Jesus as Lord. Just don't preach Jesus as Savior. Leave Jesus out of it. Dave Wilkerson founded years ago Teen Challenge, which had an 80% turnaround in addicts who came through the program. 80% came out of the program, did not go back to drugs. The government had a program, same time, amen. It was the exact opposite statistically. 20% through the government program stayed clean. 80% went back to drugs. So Dave Wilkerson was called to a council in Washington, D.C., and was brought in. And so these people that had formed this committee to deal with the drug issue in America was very strong back in the 60s and still strong today. They're telling us down in Colombia, where we got a war on drugs in Colombia and Mexico, they're shooting people out in the streets right now in the newspaper, rival drug gangs. Amen. And what one of the Colombian drug lords said makes us wince here in America. He said, you've declared war on drugs. That is war on us who are providing drugs to the United States of America. He said, but you do nothing for the craving and the desire for drugs in your own nation. There's no war. Amen. Against, amen, all of the promotion of alcoholism and the promotion of drugs is cool in America. There's a little snippet somewhere that just says, just say no. And believe me, kids are not going to just say no to anything. You've got to give them more than just don't do it. Amen. Why is the craving here? Why is the insatiable craving here? Why are people willing to give up so much to become a hopeless addict, a junkie? Why? Why in prosperous America do people want to either drink up or shoot up or coke up, amen, every day of their life? Why is alcohol consumption so great? Why is alcohol abuse? Why is great leaders and famous people checking in to rehab centers? Because with all of their talent and all the benefits it brings them, they're still looking for something, and they're willing to drink themselves into a numbing stupor or drug themselves into a stupor. If they know the way, if they're so smart, why do they have to do that to face life? Boy, I'm glad to get up in the morning and not need a shot or a pill or a drink. I'm glad, amen, for what I feel in my... The joy of the Lord is a mighty thing. The peace of God is a mighty thing. Being content in Christ is a mighty thing. I never look longingly at what somebody else has in terms of fame or fortune, because I know what I have. I have the true riches. Long after this world is over, I will know His peace, His glory, and His power. I'll share eternity with Him and with my loved ones that go to heaven. And while I'm here, I have Him with me every step of the way. Emmanuel means that God is with us every step of the way. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The Greek is very strong. It says, I will never, no, never, never. Everybody say, never, no, never, never. I will never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you. How far? All the way. The message of Christmas is that I have come down to seek you, to find you, to save you. And after that, I've saved you to stay with you until I can safely take you home with me forever, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody give Him praise. Halabakushila. He's as committed to staying with you as He was to seeking you when you were lost. He's lost none of that commitment. Amen. All of your effort to get Him to accept you, to get Him to embrace you, to get Him to come to you, all of that is in vain. He's committed to that already. He wants you to commit to accepting that reality. Emmanuel means God is with us. And that's the other name. She shall bring forth a son, verse 21, call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. God with us. I love this true story from the land of Persia. In a better time than the land is today. It was once ruled by a wise and beloved Shah who cared greatly for his people and desired only what was best for them. One day he disguised himself as a poor man and went to visit the public baths. The water for the baths was heated by a furnace in the cellar. So the Shah made his way to the dark place to sit with the man who tended the fire all alone. The two men shared coarse food, and the Shah befriended him in his loneliness. Day after day, the ruler went there to visit him. The worker became attached to the stranger because he came where he was. One day, the Shah revealed his true identity. He expected the man to ask him for a gift, because once they found out who he was, people wanted some benevolent blessing from him. Instead, he looked long into his leader's face and with love and wonder in his voice said, "You left your palace and your glory to sit with me in this dark place, to eat my coarse food, and to care about what happens to me. On others, you may bestow rich gifts, but to me, you have given yourself." That's what Emmanuel means. God has given himself to us. He's come to sit with us in this darkened world of tumult and trouble. Isaiah 7:14 is what the angel is referring to. Jesus is a fulfillment of prophecy concerning the Messiah. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." 800 years before his birth, the prophet Isaiah uttered these words. Isn't that incredible? The Bible is a verifiable book. These two people, Matthew and Isaiah, did not conspire. Everybody say 800 years had passed. 800 years before the birth of Jesus, things were pretty grim for the Lord's people. Judah had been invaded by the king of Syria and the king of Israel. Jerusalem hadn't been conquered, but King Ahaz had been taken captive and then released. He had suffered such losses, he was about to appeal to the Assyrian king for help. This would take Ahaz and his nation further away from trusting God, because the king didn't have any faith in the plans and the power of God. The Lord offered to give Ahaz a sign of his plans and power, but Ahaz refused. So the Lord gave a sign anyway, not just to the king for his immediate comfort, but to the whole nation as part of the meaning of their history. The sign of the virgin and her son. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. The great enduring truth of Christmas is not just that God sent a Savior, but that God is a Savior. And he's willing to go to that length to save us. Isn't that incredible? That baby born on Christmas Day, the baby lying in the manger, is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God with us. I want to stop here. What are we going to do with that reality and that fact? This can't just be a Christmas message. And this can't be just a Christmas theme or Christian. This is a Christian thing, not just a Christmas thing. If God is with you, we can defeat fear. If God is in the midst, we should be a shouting people because a great king is with us. Can you say amen? If God is with you, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. By what? By virtue of his presence living within you. Amen. If God is with us, we ought to celebrate, because we know the reason for the season. And it's not a baby lying in a manger. That's where it all began. But it's Jesus going to the cross, raising from the dead, ascending to heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father, and coming back to us through the Holy Spirit and being manifest in our lives by the Spirit. Through the Spirit, he said, "I will come to you." Can you say, man, literally in the Greek, "I will come back to you"? And he's not talking about the coming when he takes us home. He's talking about coming to where we are in life here and now. If you'll acknowledge his presence near you and with you, you can find the peace that they found, persecuted, threatened with death. But they found an unflappable peace that couldn't be shaken by anything they were going to face in life. Death didn't scare them anymore. They couldn't be intimidated. They said, "Lord, behold their threatenings." When they said, "We'll kill you if you teach any more in his name," he said, "Behold their threatenings." And grant unto thy servants that with what? All boldness we may speak thy word. And that signs and wonders, see, that your presence be, amen, may always attend the preaching of the word of God. How many know this is more than scholastic, theological stuff this morning? How many know this is more than just theological enterprise here today? How many more the intellect, more is to be engaged in a service where Jesus is declared, amen, than just the intellect? Can you say, amen, we're to engage your very spirit, your eternal, immortal soul. God wants to reveal this truth to you on the inside. There is no one on this planet like Jesus. No one ever came into this world like him. Hallelujah. No one could self-promote himself out of the obscure places he came from to be such a force, amen, in the world today like him. No one has been hated or persecuted more than him. No world religion is persecuted as much as Christianity. Because Satan knows this name saves. If you ever hit bottom to where you really cry out to him, you're going to find everything you need in him. He'll be your Prince of Peace. He'll be your wonderful counselor. Can you say amen? He'll be your lily of the valley. He'll be your friend. He'll be your lover. You won't have to sell yourself cheap to get somebody to hug you when you have Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm not sitting in my heaven, aloof and unapproachable. I have come to you, saith the Lord. I have come to live within you. I've come to take hold of you and never let you go. Recognize and acknowledge my presence and draw from me the strength of my presence, the joy of my presence, the peace of my presence. Yea, saith God, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Will you stand your feet? This is a call to worship. This is a call to praise. If you're a Christian, I would urge you to pick up your Bible. I would urge you to begin to read in the Gospels first and foremost. I would urge you to read the teachings of Jesus Christ. I would urge you to begin with the book of John and then go pick up Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. He's pure man enough to relate to our hurt and our pain and our need, and He's God enough to do something about it. Indeed, O come, O come, Emmanuel. For 800 years, Israel looked for God to come in a way that would save all of Israel. Call unto me. Your sins can be washed away. Cry unto me. Your hurt can be healed. Call out to me, saith the Lord, and I will come and save you. That's why I sent my Son. That's why I came to earth. Can't rejoice. There's something wrong with your rejoicer. Can you say, amen? You need to get it fixed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible spoke of giving you the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Too many Christians are operating in the wrong attitude to convince the world of this great truth. There's only one acceptable attitude, and that's the joy of Jesus. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He said he would give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Amen. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Glory to God. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that means don't wait for a feeling. Praise him because of who he is and what he's done. Hallelujah. And see what he will do. Hallelujah. Will you join hands this morning? Thank you for just worshiping. Amen. I enjoy worship. I have to have it. It's vital to me. I could no more sit in a dead church and watch somebody else perform. I don't care if the performance is really high octane. I don't go to church to be entertained. I go to be refueled. Can you say amen? God is good, isn't he? Amen. Brothers, would you come, and sisters, and just gather. Some of you gathering around in agreement. Kim, you prayed for me for a back that was badly pulled, and it hurt to laugh. It hurt to preach while I was preaching. It hurt to bend over to tie my shoe. It hurt, and it hurt bad. And when hurt doesn't go away, it seems like it will never go away. It seems like it's going to stay. And you prayed as others gathered around me for God to touch my back and heal me. And God touched my back and healed me. And he didn't do it because I'm a preacher, and he didn't do it because I'm anyone special above anyone in this room. God is no respecter of persons. He did it because that's who he is. He did it because that's what he does. He did it because we called upon his name for it. You didn't pray for me in the name of the Holy Church of God or in the name of Kim. You prayed for me in the name of Jesus, and God honors that mighty name. He's the one that exalted it and gave it such authority in the earth. So, Father, I return the prayer to my sister today that she be healed, that every infection in her chest and lungs be driven out right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, grant unto thy servants, Lord, even as myself, that with all boldness I may speak your word, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Every time we pray in the name of Jesus and an answer comes to that prayer, a sign and a wonder has been done in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, let this mighty sign that Jesus is Lord, that he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us, let this mighty sign come to us today. Heal Sister Kim from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet and make her whole. And I guarantee you, she along with us will give you the glory. Hallelujah. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord would say unto you, such as I have, give I thee. For I have healing virtue within me, saith God. And I am freely giving to my people that they seek of me. For you are my children, I am your father. Ask largely of me, and I, the Lord, will bring it to pass, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you join hands? We'll try to have a formal dismissal, which is very difficult when everything is kind of loose like this. I know about arthritis pain, and I know how God helps and how God heals. Father, in the name of Jesus, I anoint my sister. Father, I praise you, Lord. I thank you that you're so good. This young woman works very hard to bless us. Lord, she's found a calling that is a blessing, that if she didn't do it, we'd all feel it and see it. Father, we thank you for what happens behind the scenes here. We thank you for a fresh room. We thank you for all that work upon it. We thank you for this young woman's personal commitment, Lord, to us and to minister to us in this way. And her body needs strength, Lord, to glorify your name in her ministry. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would heal the joints. Lord, where there's deterioration, that you would replace it with strong bones and moist marrow in the name of Jesus, and lubricated joints. Hallelujah. Let the oil of gladness not only saturate her spirit, but Lord, let it just get in her bones. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. I can put this oil on her forehead. You can place the anointing right on the bone. In the name of Jesus, Lord, heal and make whole to the glory of God. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. I expect God to do wonders. I just can't help but believe that, because we're declaring Jesus as Lord of all. Hallelujah. Will you join hands one more time? Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever you're facing, and I know you're facing things, in this world you'll have tribulation. You must remember. I must remember. We need to rehearse it over and over again. God has come down not to hide from you. God has come down not to make it tough for you to come to Him. God has come down the ladder. You don't have to climb up it to get to Him. He came down in the person of Christ. And in that manger, God was saying, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to save you. I'm coming to heal you. I'm coming to help you. I'm coming to live with you and to take you through this veil of tears and this world of darkness that sin has tainted. I will not leave you there comfortless. As orphans, I will come to you. Father, I want to thank you for your commitment to your people and to all people who will receive it today. Anyone that hears this message can come to Christ because God has come down. Father, I praise you for your goodness. You're a wonderful God. This is a wonderful salvation. Father, I thank you for what you've done. Forgive us for every time we tried to earn what is ours in Christ. Help us to open our not just wrap our mind around, but help us get our heart into this thing. To get it real in our heart, so when we pray to that God who is with us. Not that God that is sitting far above in His heaven, but that God that is standing right by our side and living in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen and amen. Look at someone and say, Emmanuel, God is with you.